Blog Talk Radio.
I want to welcome everyone to the show this morning. I tell you, it's been a phenomenal week. Down here in the South, it's just a clear sky, and my co-host Jimmy Gilhart has been training our top airport, our chopper pilots for the Apache helicopter this week. Him and my producer, John Haynes, both, that's what they do. That's their passion in life, and they have both served some great, great years in the military, and Jimmy's retired now, special contractor, and John just got back a couple years ago from Iraq, and now he's a private contractor training our pilots, training those young kids coming out of school how to fly those machines so that they can keep themselves safe and they can go in and pick up others that are needed to bring out in an extraction. So I'm proud of those guys. I'm proud of my business associates out there. Today we're going to be covering the law of the picture. People do as people see. Now, I think this is really big, and I want to take a little bit of time on this today because so many times we expect people to do what we tell them, and then we're off doing something else. And I had a good conversation last week with Art Meakin, who's the granddaddy of MLM. He's a good friend of mine, a mentor. He's been in this business, man, almost 40 years, a little over 40 years. And one of the things we were discussing was the fact that all this stuff out there on the Internet these days, you know, people are saying buy this book or buy this system or buy this package or do it this way and do it that way, and we get so overwhelmed sometimes. And I think one of the greatest things that we can do for each other, we can do for our downlines, is to really hone in on something we're good at, whatever that is. Some people, you know, like it belly to belly. Some people are good on the Internet. Some people do a combo. Some people get on the telephone and dial leads. Whatever it is that you go out there and do to build your business, whatever system you use, consistently stick with it. Make it happen. Make it work. You know, when we were running ProStep many years ago, one of the things that I trained people on was that you have to give something at least 6 months. If you watch most of the marketing that goes on during the Super Bowl, you find out that they run those in six-month increments. Now, don't get me wrong, if it flops on that day, they don't run it at all. But if it's a good run, they'll run it for 6 months, and they'll pull it, and they'll have something else up there, and they rotate, and they do split testing and all this other stuff. They know it takes longevity to get a marketing campaign rolling. So if you're out there right now and you're struggling, you know, get with your upline, but really focus in on making sure that campaign works. If you're in a brick-and-mortar business, because we do a lot of consulting with just regular businesses, make sure that when you put your marketing plan together, you're running that consistently with what's happening in your area. If it's Halloween, then run a campaign that way. You know, if it's getting ready for Christmas, run your campaign. If you're focusing in on surfers like a lot of the stores down here on my island do, you know, keep that consistent until times change. I'll give you an example right here on our island. During the month of March and April, almost all the advertising is focused on college kids because that's spring break and we get an influx of spring breakers. Right after that, we go into the tourist season and everything is focused on families and kids up until the end of October. And then the snowbirds come down from the north. Everything's focused in on snowbirds at that time. See where I'm going with this? You rotate with where you're at and what you're doing. The law of the big picture. People will do as they see you do. That's what leaders are for. If you give them a wrong picture, man, I'm going to tell you right now, it will not work, won't happen at all, and it will flop, flop, flop. You don't want that to happen. You want to make sure that you're giving them something. You know, there's this old adage called practice makes perfect. Well, that's only half true, because if you're practicing something wrong, then you're always going to get it wrong. You may become proficient at doing it wrong, but the whole concept is you had a picture. You followed what somebody was doing. They were doing it wrong, so you did it wrong. If you do it right, if you practice perfectly, perfect practice makes perfect. Now, we all know there's no perfect anything out there. But what I'm getting at here is if you've got the wrong picture in your mind, you're never going to make it. It's never going to turn out the way you want to. This is one of the reasons we train people all the time to set goals. You know, and not just to set the goal and then leave it or set a New Year resolution and then leave it, but literally put a plan of action together. You know, I pulled out this morning my actual success guide. I do this every year. The last 2 weeks of the year is totally focused on where my New Year is going to go. And in doing that, I've always got the picture in front of me. I can always do it in pencil so that I can make some changes when I need to, change some dates if I have to, you know, put stuff together. But over the last couple of days, it was interesting. I had a gentleman that I've known for a while at a distance on my website, and he disagreed with something that I said. And that doesn't ever bother me. You can disagree. We all have opinions. Thank the Lord we live in the United States where we can share them. But he also kind of alluded to something that was not true. So I put up a video that I did on January 5th of this year, which actually showed what our vision, what our goal, what our process was with one of our websites. And it was amazing to see how true that had come, because we constantly keep going back to our action plan. If you want people to follow you, if you want to be able to know where you're going, then you have to learn and master the law of the big picture. I've seen this so much with Catalyst. You know, and you guys know next week we'll be going to Atlanta, we'll be going to Catalyst, we'll be working up there with the crew. We got about 15,000 people coming in this year. And one of the things that I've watched year after year after year is that the team that puts together the Catalyst conference back in 2000, which has now become a huge movement out there, they had a plan. They laid the big picture out. John Maxwell was there, Andy Stanley, Louis Giglio, Gabe Lyons, a lot of great guys and gals were sitting around, and they mastermind this deal. 10 years later, because they laid out the big picture, every year has done nothing but grow and grow and grow. This year, Catalyst went from being just in Atlanta to a huge event out on the West Coast, and just totally expanding. It's expanded. It's really spawned off so many different businesses and ministries and focus groups out of this. It's amazing. And that's what the law of the big picture can do. When you focus in on the law of the big picture and you really make it happen, you really put it to work, all of a sudden you realize you get to see not just your organization, but you get to see your whole life change. And I know, Mark, you just joined us on the call, and I know that you've utilized the law of the big picture as you've grown your organizations year after year after year.
Well, I tell you what, Troy, you have to look to the future. You have to look to where you want to go as if you've already achieved. You have to step out in faith. And I'm going to be like in and out of the call today as far as participating goes, but you definitely have to look at where you want to be, and it has no relation to where you are right now. It has relation to your dream and your vision.
That's fantastic, buddy, and I'll put your phone back on mute and carry the call, because I know you've got a couple of priorities there.
Thank you.
You know, Mark hit it right. You know, it's got to be that forward thinking out there. You know, making the picture come alive, I think, is a key. You've got to first make it come alive to yourself. You know, the mission that you're on provides you the purpose. And it answers the question, why am I doing this? And every year I put down a purpose beside each of my objectives for the year. The second thing is the vision. The vision provides that big picture. It answers the question, what am I going to be doing? And it's powerful when you accomplish this. And that's why I tell you guys, go out and buy the book, John Maxwell's new book. It's updated. It was 2000. You want the 2007 release. And it's the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. Follow them and people will follow you. And this is so true. Because in putting the mission and putting the vision down, and then this is the best, putting the strategy, that day-to-day action plan that you're going to use answers the question on how are you going to do it. You know, the leaders are the most effective when they have that plan. Now, I put my plan down, guys. It doesn't have to be big. I personally, I've got my big book, which is my notebook, my leather-bound notebook that I carry and I use, and it's in my office. It's always here right by me. But when I'm out and about and I'm carrying just my journal, I've got everything on a 3x5 card. I can stay focused through the day. I know what my priorities are. I know where I'm going. I know what I want to do. I know every time I do something throughout the day, even if I get sidetracked. Yesterday I shot an extra video because I was sidetracked, but I needed to get it out. I did not finish my day until I had shot my original video, got it out on my blog, got all the updates put on it that needed to be put up on it. You always have to follow through, and that keeps the picture alive in your mind, but it also gives you something to get passionate about when you're talking to other people. And I think that is the key. You know, I've got a guy that I listen to periodically. He's very controversial. My son, my 22-year-old, and I have debates over this gentleman all the time. And he's a controversial figure. He's a insightful figure. He's a passionate figure, and his name's Glenn Beck. And you either like Glenn Beck or you don't like Glenn Beck. Well, in my case, I like Glenn Beck, even though I don't agree all the time with what he's saying. But one of the things that there's no doubt in anybody's mind on is that he's passionate about what he does. He loves that to no end. It reminds me of Bob Beckel. Bob Beckel is a dynamic professor. He's an excellent political analyst, Democrat, and very liberal. His brother is a very conservative Republican. It's funny how, you know, I'd love to sit there at a dinner table and see these guys communicate, but they love each other. But they're passionate about their different ideologies. They keep the big picture alive for those that surround them, for those that are on their team. Guys, that's what we're talking about in here today. This is what you have to do because your children watch you operate. Well, guess what? Your downline watches you operate. If they see you doing something different than what you say, they're going to go the other way. I'm getting ready to put a video up on Facebook called Walk the Talk. And it's a beautiful video that Richard Brooks sent over. And I thought, this is awesome. And I want to get it out so people can see it. Because if we walk our talk, that picture gets broader. It gets bigger. It gets, just out there. And there's some things that we can do. I'm going to give you some insights today, little things that we can do. It's in the book. You can read it. But let's write these down. Number one, followers are always watching what you do. Even if you don't realize it, even at a distance, you will see that. Prime example is social marketing, and I just love social marketing. Don't want to get a sidetrack. I'm reading a brand new book. We'll be sharing it on the call here before too long, and it's on social marketing. But what happens in social marketing is people follow you don't even know that are following you. So yesterday I put a video up on Facebook, and I have over 30 people that have commented, people that I've never known. One of them's a big, beautiful lady that I've been following forever, and she's just dynamic, powerful. I mean, got everything together, her own radio show, and she made a comment. She was following what I wrote. This is when you know that you've got people out there you're responsible for. So followers are always watching what you do. Other leaders may be following you. It doesn't mean that they adapt everything that you do, but they understand, just like Mark and I understand and Jim and John, that leaders have to follow somebody. So they're going to decide who they want to follow, and they're going to go out there and they're going to follow them, and they're going to learn from them, and they're going to glean from them, and they're going to throw out stuff that doesn't work. That's the law of the picture. The second thing is it's easier to teach what's right than to do what's right. That's a big one right there. If you were over on my blog this week, you saw a debate going on between me and somebody else. And even though we are on totally opposite pages in this debate, one of the things that I did today was I made it very clear to anybody that was reading the debate going on that if they decided to choose this specific company, which I think is a scam, that they need to follow the gentleman that I'm having the debate with. And the reason I tell him that is because he's passionate about that company. He knows how to build that company. He loves that company. You can see that in the spirited debate that we're having. That's the kind of leader you want to follow. Yeah, I don't have to have a leader believe in my ideology in order to tell you he's an awesome leader, go follow him. And that's the key here. You have to understand that it's easier to teach what's right than to do what's right. Because the human nature is always to defend your position and say, you're nuts. Get off my blog. I'm going to trash you out. You're blocked. You're banned. You're never coming back. Those aren't right. You got to give. This is a country where freedom of speech is out there, and you want to be able to have people understand that so that when people follow me, they see that I don't play favorites. If you don't agree with me, we're going to post it, doggone it. If you agree with me, we're going to post that too. But you got to be open and honest and fair with people. See, that's the key. The third thing that you've got to look at, and this is important, guys. We should work on changing ourselves before trying to improve others. You know, that goes back to the old Bible scripture that says, you know, you can see the speck in your brother's eye, but you don't see the two before in yours. Don't be trying to change people if you're not trying to change yourself. It's always easy to find fault in others. But look inward. You know, this is something my beautiful wife has taught me. You constantly have to be looking and changing and correcting yourself. The reason relationships inside of marriage, outside of marriage, business, it doesn't matter what, the reason they work or fail depends on whether a person is looking to change themselves before changing others. Because here's what I found over years and years and years of being a husband and a dad and a business leader. When you change yourself, all of a sudden you're not concerned about changing others. That's amazing to me, but it works. The fourth thing that you've got to look at is that the most valuable gift a leader can give is being a good example. That is truly, truly a must. And there was a survey done by the Opinion Research Corporation, and they went out and they asked questions of to American workers, what are the best traits that you want in a person? And here's what they wrote. The number one trait is leading by example, 26% of the people. That was what they asked for. The number two was strong ethics or moral. That came in at 19%. Knowledge of the business came in at 17%. That was number three. Number four, this might shock you, fairness came in at 14%. It was the fourth largest. Number five was overall intelligence and competence. That came in at 13%. Number six was recognition of employees. So in the top six things out there that the American worker's looking for, leading by example was number one. Folks, this is what separated the American workers from the white collar and the blue collar. White collars cannot lead by example because it's against the law now. They can't go out there and get on the assembly line, even if that was what their major was and that's what they're good at. They can't do that. Just like a blue-collar worker has to give up all his union rights if he wants to become a white-collar worker. And I'm not here to debate unions. My dad's been in the union all his life, but what I'm focusing in on is there's been a separation. In network marketing and owning your own business, don't let there be a separation. If you're a contractor out there, get out there with a hammer and work with your guys. Just don't sit in an air-conditioned closet somewhere and relax. If you're a networker, get on the phone and train your people on what to do and how to do it. Be out there working with them constantly, day in and day out. You have to set the example. That's the key here. That's why the most valuable gift that a leader can give is example. See, people want to know. They can learn from your mistakes. They can learn from your successes. But if you're not out there leading by example, they can't learn anything. And that really sucks because now they feel like, okay, the person's telling me something, but you didn't tell me anything. This is one of the reasons that when Art Meakin and I were having our conversation last week that was so frustrating was that we see a lot of people buying and selling a lot of info products on the internet, and yet when you look at those info products, the only thing different is the front cover. Nothing inside has changed. Nothing inside really tells you what to do. It gives you a few little insights, and then it tells you to go buy something else. That's not leading by example. And there are some great guys out there that do lead by example. They're out there using their own stuff. They're out there building their own business. Don't get me wrong here. But we as leaders have to realize people are looking at our day-to-day actions, the little things and the big things. They judge us by what we say and what we do. If we say one thing and do something else, eventually we'll turn around and realize no one is following us. We see this constantly in corporate America. We don't need to do it here. We see it in politics. We see it everywhere. You know, I remember a few years ago, and this was before Michael had gotten back out of jail, but Michael Vick was talking one way in public while he was doing something else in private. It cost him a lot of money and a career. It cost him a reputation. Now he has a second chance. He has a chance to come out and correct those errors. He has a chance to come out and do something. And Tony Dungy, I can't pronounce his name right, but Coach Dungy is going to be with me in Catalyst. It's going to be interesting to chat with him and talk to him in the green room. And you know, he took a chance on this young, spitfire, wet-behind-the-ear football player. That's a leader. That's a leader saying, I'm going to bring you along, and I'm going to train you. It's up to you in the end if you're going to take this training, if you're going to take this wisdom and use it. But if you do it, you could go on down the road. And it would not surprise me, folks, because of Coach Dungy's leadership abilities and what he's been through in his own life. It would not surprise me at all if at the end of Michael Vick's playing career, if he doesn't become a coach somewhere in the NFL, because that's the kind of leader that he has that he's following, is one of the most dynamic coaches in the NFL history. This is what leadership is about. This is what business is about. When you look out here in network marketing, a leader that stands out as somebody that has literally walked the talk is Pam Shaw from Mary Kay. Pamela has lived a tremendous life, had a lot of successes, but at the same time lost her husband and went through some personal anguish during that period of time. But yet she walked her walk. She continued to have faith. She continued to build. She continued to hold her family together. See, this is what we have to do. We have to be the leaders out there. Let's look at how we can apply this to our life. Because I think that's the key. And there's three things that we can do. This is right out of the book. And John is so proficient at putting this together, and his writer is so good at putting it in the paper. But if you're already practicing the law of the process, and we've already talked about that early on, then you're currently working to sharpen your skills. You're constantly wanting to grow. You're wanting to increase your leadership ability. But there's more to leadership than just the technical skills. Character is valid. I mean, it's so vital that it's pathetic. When I shot my video yesterday and I put it up on Facebook asking a question, I titled that video, Troy Dooley Exposed, His Hidden Agenda. And it amazed me how many people, first of all, watched the video, but what was even more enlightening is that when people wrote their comments, the thing that came forefront, and this made me feel good in my heart, I'm going to be quite honest with you, humbly, but it made me feel good, was that my character is what shows above anything else. Before my intelligence, before my ignorance, before my weaknesses and strengths, the one thing that everybody commented on, even those that don't know me personally but just watch me through videos, all said the same thing. My character stands out. Folks, that's so important in leadership. And for me, it's not that I'm some goody-two-shoes. Mark Layton and Jim Gilhouse can tell you that. But it's the fact that I know that every night I've got to walk back through a door. I've got to look at two grandbabies. I've got to look at two beautiful daughters. I've got a six-year-old son. And if nothing else, I've got three bigger boys that are saying, what would Dad do? And I never want my character to come into question, because I want to be able to lay down at night knowing I've been the father and the husband that I'm supposed to be. And when you're married to an inspirational romance writer, it puts you in a box. There's certain things you can't do because you don't want to hurt her career either. Character is so important. So you have to look at that. Where is your character today? Give yourself a character audit. Make a list of what your core values are, you know, such as in integrity, hard work, honesty, you know, whatever your values are, not mine or anybody else's, but write down your values. Now, look at everything that you do. Do you stay focused on those values? That's the key. If you're not living a life based on your core values, here's what's going to happen, folks. You're going to be stressed, frustrated. You're going to constantly be angst inside. You're going to be torn up. I mean, that's why people have heart attacks. Okay, so get it right. List as many of them as you can recall. List everything. And then look at your life situations in the last month. If you've seen where you've faltered in character, start working on that to strengthen it. When you work on changing not only your actions but also your attitude, all of a sudden you start to see how easy it is to walk that walk. That is so valid here, guys. So important. The second thing, I want you, and every one of our laws are like this, but we truly believe in this, and I've watched Maxwell do this over and over and over, and now it's a part of my life, and this is one of the reasons I put my video out yesterday. I'll do a follow-up today saying I want to thank everybody for their comments, and I will share with them, here's why I did what I did yesterday, is because I believe in asking those around me where my strengths and where my weaknesses are. And I believe in publicly, because I'm a public figure, putting it out there so that I can be held accountable and that there's no question in what my focus is. And, folks, that's what you have to do. So ask a trusted colleague or a friend to watch what you're doing over an expanded period of time. Maybe it's a month, maybe it's 2 months, maybe it's 90 days. But it can be as little as a week. It's whatever you guys want to do. But have them compare what you teach and how you conduct yourself. That's important. If you're walking the walk, they're gonna tell you you're walking the walk. If you're not, if you're just talking it and you're not walking it, They're going to let you know that. You're going to lay yourself open. Have them record all the inconsistencies that they find. And then I want you to meet with them. Go buy them a cup of coffee. You know how I am. Go to Starbucks, or if you're in the South, go to Waffle House. Grab yourself a cup of coffee and some smothered, covered, diced, and chopped hash browns and sit there and chat. And let them share with you what they've seen. This is the only way you're going to get an honest assessment of who and what you are. It's so important. And if you don't think it works, taking some spiritual stuff out of the picture, I want to use a Bible story real quick. You know, Jesus was sitting on the beach and Peter was there. And Peter kept asking some questions and talking to the Lord. And finally, you know, the Lord was very straightforward with him. He said, you know what? You're gonna deny me. You've got all these weaknesses. You talk first, ask questions later. You know, at one point he said, get behind me, Satan. He was so upset at him. But yet Peter went on to be the father of the Jerusalem church, what we knew as the first church out of Jerusalem for Christianity. See, after a while, Peter started listening and started realizing what Jesus was saying to him and realized, okay, if I'm going to be a follower of his, if I'm going to be an authentic believer of his, I better start listening to him. And he even did it when he walked on the water. You know, Peter said, if you're really the Lord, let me walk on the water. And he took his eyes off of his objective. He started to sink. Now, we don't know how much he sank. I doubt it was very much. But, you know, when you look at the stories, you start to realize what principles are there. So you want to make sure you ask a trusted colleague exactly where your weaknesses are so that they can help you with that. Then plan to change them. Either change your actions, change your philosophy, whatever it is that's inconsistent, you want to fix it and make it consistent. Number three, what are the 3 to 5 things that you wish your people did better? What are the that you see them consistently doing that's not good and you want them to change? You want them to do better. What is it? List them. Now grade your performance in those areas. See, if your team's not recruiting a lot of people, the odds are you're not recruiting a lot of people. The odds are your top leaders aren't recruiting a lot of people, so the whole team's not recruiting a lot of people. That's the key here. If you're not on the leaders' board the way you want to be, then probably your team's not either. This is how you change. When you see your weaknesses are, and you correct them, and you make yourself stronger, and you start walking the talk, all of a sudden, you start to see the changes. All of a sudden, things start to move forward. You start to grow. Your team starts to grow. Things start to change. When you sit here and you look at the assessment, when you're done with this law, and you focus in on where you're at, I'm telling you, the sky's the limit. You're going to start to change your life inside and out. You're going to start to see your business change. You'll see your personal life change. You know, it's so great being married to the woman that I've been married to because we grew up together, and she's trained me. I remember I you know, guys, I know how I am. I'm always shooting videos, but I shot a video last week and sent it out to 10 people on Facebook who actually changed my life. But one of the men that I mentioned, and there's a man named Mark Massey, and I'll never forget. Mark was a rebel, had hot cars. I ran with him when I was young, and we were sitting in my yard. He'd been married. I'm married. We got kids. And he laughed, and he said, you know, I knew that she'd either tame you or divorce you, one of the two, because I was a rebel all the way across the board. A lot of you know my history. And, you know, Paige and I have learned together. We've both changed to become the people that we are, but not because we tried to change each other. It became natural because of our values, our characters, and our kids and everything else. Folks, you're going to find that that's going to help your team. When you change to become a better person, when you're constantly looking how you can be more consistent, then the sky's the limit. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about the law of the buy-in. People buy into the leader and then the vision. If more network marketing companies would get this, if more leaders in the field would understand it's not about the so-called money they can earn, but it's about the vision that they cast, they would find that their businesses would grow and grow and grow. That's why people like Sandy Cohen, Tom Chenault, Garrett McGrath, Corey Citron, top leaders always have people with them because they bought into the leader, they believe in what they stand for, and they're moving it forward. Folks, have an awesome and fantastic day. We'll see you tomorrow morning on Mentoring for Your Mind.